It's a hard story. It's a hard story of a hard life. The Old Testament lesson today is unrelieved pain. And it makes me think that this lesson and the psalm that follows it were somehow prepared in advance, months, years, centuries in advance. In fact, the Old Testament lesson is 1,800 years old. But I can't remember a time when a gospel, when a lesson, particularly the old lessons, isn't more appropriate than it is now. It's a story about the famine. It's not a story, it's the reality of the famine. What is a famine? Famine in the time of Amos is like the famine in many parts of the world today. And that is where there just isn't enough food to feed people. And because there's not enough food to feed people, they have to make decisions about who will get fed and who will not get fed. A terrible decision for a mother or father to have to make, and yet it's made every single day, today. Not just in the time of Amos, but today. The place where it is the worst is in Yemen, South Yemen. And there we learn that the number of children that are dying every day is legion. We can't keep up with it. And what can I say? Our own country, our own nation, our own land is directly involved in this famine by supporting Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is on a campaign to destroy Yemen, to destroy it, to wipe it off the face of the earth. When have we heard that language before? Famine. It's a reoccurring phenomenon of our time. There's a famine of food when there's not enough rain and the wheat grows up and then dries up and blows away. There's a famine of water. Where in some places there's not enough water and there's just not enough water. And yet in other places there's too much water. The water just washes over everything and nothing can stand in its way. This is a famine of a stable climate. We don't have a stable climate. We may never see a stable climate again in our lifetime. This is in the words of Amos, warning the people to whom he writes and whom he speaks, God has given up on you. God will no longer fall for your tricks. You're cheating the poor. You're robbing people under the guise of religion. A famine of food, water, and a stable climate. This is what the future holds for our world. There can be other kinds of famine, of course. There's the famine of friendship. Famine of friendship is when a break takes place between friends or even between families. How many times have you heard or even been involved in cases where the family itself is being ripped apart and they can't speak to one another and there's so much anger and hatred and bad memories that goes on? This is a famine of friendship. The famine of friendship can be followed by the famine of love. Can you imagine your whole life not being able to experience love? To give love to someone else? Say, here, this is you from me. It's a famine of love when we can't love one another. There's the famine of hope. And in the famine of hope, the future is closed. It's shut. It's like there's no way through, and it will always be this way. The famine of hope is a famine. That destroys the people. Can there be a famine any worse than that? What is such a famine? How does it affect us? Well, I just mentioned earlier how it affects us. We are living on the same planet with people, our fellow human beings, who are suffering like we cannot even begin to imagine, and they are dying at such an alarming rate. We wonder, can we still call ourselves human beings? Can we, do we dare call ourselves human beings in the face of this terrible phenomenon? There's a reason behind the prophetic complaint of Amos. You see, all of Israel's history, and later the history of the New Testament, is grounded in the idea that God calls his people to follow him in all circumstances. God gives people the law of justice and righteousness and expects his people to live accordingly. Amos, the prophet, speaks for God. God puts his complaint in Amos's mouth, so to speak. But the heart of this complaint, found in the book of Amos, has to do with injustice. Merchants cheating the people, waiting by the hour when the new moon can be passed so we can go out and start cheating people again. Merchants cheat the people. You probably remember, for instance, when the Pharma Bro, does the Pharma Bro mean anything to you? This is the young man who has legally bought up the patent to insulin and then raises the price 400, 500, 600, 700 times. This drug is not aspirin. This drug keeps people alive. Without it, they die. There's nothing else that can be done. They die. And this merchant, Sir Cayley, thought it was great fun. You probably saw him on television smirking in the courtroom as people are dying. In the time of Amos, people would sweep together. They would sweep together the leavings from the farm and sweep the dust in with the wheat and then go out into the marketplace and sell the dust contaminated wheat for people, and they starve. Increasingly, the poor and the middle classes are cheated mostly by the wealthy who cover up their misdeeds and phony religion. God has warned Israel repeatedly that injustice will be dealt with harshly as the evil that the rich and powerful do will be returned to them many times over. This passage from Amos doesn't end. It's a terrible passage. As God no longer protects his people. Can you think about that for a minute? God no longer protects his people. Protects them from what? Protects them from their own cruelty and injustice. If you look at Psalm 52, you see the same theme. God rejecting his people because of their injustice. However, that's not the final word. It's not the last word. It never is. It never is the last word with God. Happily, this shocking condemnation of God's own people isn't the last word of God. While God rejects his people when they violate his law of justice, he also opens his heart to those who truly repent of their cruelty. God gives to his people all that they need and only asks that they in turn give to those also in need. Most importantly, God gives to us the gift of himself, the gift of God's eternal presence. In all that we do today, I ask you, in all that we do today, let us remember both God's justice and God's love. They are for us, that we may make a difference in the world. Amen.